Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you're just joining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking with Journal Sentinel reporter John Dietrich about accidental gun shootings and injuries that involve kids here in Wisconsin and how they are charged as crimes. And in Milwaukee County, mostly charged as felonies, which can have absolutely devastating impacts. Most people, most families in which this occurs, the adults that own the firearms have no criminal record, and being charged with a felony can result in job loss, incarceration, challenges renting, all sorts of things, major cascading impacts, and the same conduct is charged very differently depending on where you live in the state. John, before we had to go to break, you wanted to make an additional point, sir. Please go ahead.
Well, it's just amplifying what you just said right now, that there are real people who are affected by this. And I delve into the case of Breonna Givens. And just briefly, like her story, again, when you just read the short criminal complaint, you might come to some conclusions. You know, her son shot himself in the hand with a loaded firearm that was left in a mattress, you know, in her bedroom, and she's asleep on muscle relaxants. That's kind of what we know. But the rest of the story, her case, she had been threatened. She had a gun put to her head just a month or so before this happened, and nobody was charged in that case. And so she bought a gun to protect herself and her three children. And it is true she was on a muscle relaxant, and that's because she was a nurse working in the pandemic, and she, you know, had sciatica. So there was like more to this case. And when she was charged, so she was charged with a felony, no criminal record, anything like that. And while in the end, she ended up pleading to something less, because she was a nurse, she lost her job, and she can't get a job because she pled to a neglect count. She had Child Protective Services come to her house after this. She became homeless for a while after she was evicted. You know, and today she can't work in healthcare, which is her chosen field, and she's back to working a job that she worked as a teenager. And so I just feel like as you wrote through this, and I should also say she does not, she definitely admits she made a mistake, huge mistake. She would use a gun safe today. She doesn't have a gun today. She's not backing away from that. But I think it's just helpful for people to understand the real world implications of what being charged with a felony, even if you're not convicted of it in the end. You know, just to bring that out, I think was really important in the piece.
Folks, that's Journal Sentinel reporter John Dietrich. Again, John, thank you so much for your time. I have already emailed you to set up another longer interview so we can talk about some of your prior work. You have a good holiday season. We'll get you back on the air real soon. I appreciate you. And thanks for this coverage, John. Folks, we'll put the link to John's latest piece in the show notes today so that you can find it. But I promised you that Tom Paulswitz, my co-host for the day, and I would have a little tete-a-tete, if you will, about Joe Biden's pardon of his son, Hunter. To set it up, y'all, I think the pardon was a mistake. Tom thinks it was great. We discuss, we debate all of this coming up. You can join this great conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I covered it on Monday. I argued with Dom about it on Monday. Tom, give everybody your take.
Before I jump in on that, I just want to comment Please. On the last segment. One article, fantastic article.
Yes.
You know, one of the things, though, after I read the article that struck me was there was not one mention of the product that killed the child.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think about this in the United States, if there were other products that were killing children, they would
We'd
be pulled from the market
it.
Immediately.
Yeah.
You know, and this can't be the, you know, there aren't bad guns, there's bad people idea. It's just, it's impossible because these are children who don't know what they're doing. And it's just a dangerous product. And to me, where's the liability that these gun manufacturers have in this story, right? There are only two victims, and the victims are the child and the parent. And that to me is tragic. So I just want to make that statement because it just absolutely is mind-boggling to me that it's not even in the article. It's
right.
Not even brought up because we don't even bother to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, so just thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers,
correct.
Well, and there's a through line just to set it up also for this discussion. the through line here, and the reason that I thought this worked as let's talk about this and then we're going to talk about the pardon, is that the biggest takeaway from that article is, depending on where you live in the state of Wisconsin, you're going to be treated very differently for the exact same conduct.
Right.
And that, to me, when we talk about the justice system, that is an indication when the system is broken, that the exact same conduct is charged and punished very, very differently. Now, there's always some discretion, some variables given the context of the particular action, but the gravity of the impact between a misdemeanor charge and a felony charge is enormous on someone's life. And it's interesting to me that this different rules for different people is sort of lurks at the root of the debate over Joe Biden's pardon of his son, Hunter. And I'll just say this to help set it up, and I'd love you to consider this in your explanation of your view, Tom. I've heard the response from a lot of people saying it's defensible because no one else except for Hunter Biden would have been subject to this sort of prosecution, that it's by virtue of the fact that he is the president's son and it was politicized. And my response to that is this: the law is the way it is written. And if the law itself includes a punishment which is unreasonable for the crime, then why in the hell haven't we changed the law? And it points to one of the things that I have always found the most problematic within the so-called American justice system. I call it a legal system because I don't think we get the justice part all the time.
Right.
And that is the fact that prosecutors layer up charges.
Yes.
To effectively extort pleas from people. That was a topic in Mr. Dietrich's article. And so if the penalties that Hunter Biden was not, or that we thought was inappropriate for Hunter because it was just this one crime, then why are those the penalties that accompany these crimes under the federal criminal code? We got to look at that.
Absolutely. But I'm going to walk this back and look at it two different ways. One, please. I'm going to start with looking at it as a father. So, you know, Joe Biden as a father has been through a lot. You know, he lost his wife, lost his daughter, lost his son. And now here's another son who he perceives, rightly or wrongly, depending on your opinion, perceives is being hounded only because he's Joe Biden's son. So from that perspective, as a father, and having been a father for a long time now, I know that I want my children to bear the consequences of their actions. But they have to be fair consequences. They have to be realistic consequences.
But this is where the question about the penalties comes in. That's the way the law is written. Why isn't that presumptively a fair penalty, regardless of how it's charged in other instances?
Because I will say that Joe Biden had no faith that the penalties that were going to be issued later this month would have been fair. And mainly because Joe Biden's son.
But this is my question, Tom. The penalties are circumscribed by federal law. If the penalties that are circumscribed and set forward in federal law are not fair,
but Maggie,
for
already
that
know
crime,
there's a tremendous amount of leeway in those penalties, right? So that's one way. That's the first way.
But isn't a response to that a question? So what? Yep, there's leeway.
Right.
He did the crime. He subjects himself to that full range of penalty.
Right. But he already had a plea agreement, and that plea agreement
which was
rejected
by the judge because that is our process. Why does Hunter Biden get a get out of jail free card when other people don't?
Right. So I'm going to look at it as a father.
Which I grant you that as a dad, of course, right?
Any parent would do that. He's going to protect his son at all costs. As far as the consequences from a fairness standpoint, he had already paid back the taxes he owed with interest and penalties. He had already done that. And, you know, how many people have applied for a gun who weren't illegally able to apply for a gun and would have gotten sanctioned for it? I mean, there's a whole bunch of people who have been sanctioned,
doesn't make absolving Hunter of any responsibility outcome, does it?
Right. I'm not saying it makes it right or not. But the second part of this, and this is the world that we live in today, and I'm not sure that all Democrats understand the world that we live in today, that this Trump administration is going to go after people. They are going to go after people, and they're going to charge people with whatever they can charge him, whether it actually charge people with whatever they can charge them, whether it's based on reality or not, whether it's based on anything, they're going after people.
Well, if that's, and we know that that's going to happen, but it, right. doesn't that make what Joe Biden just did in pardoning his son all the more dangerous and destructive? Because what he's saying is, I do not trust the system to do right by my
no,
son.
I do it not was his trust, own. I do not trust the Trump administration. I trust the system. If it wasn't the Trump administration coming, and this is the reality of the new world that we live in.
But there's an Article 3 judge, Tom. I'm going to push you on this. There's an Article 3 judge that has to sign off on whatever those penalties are. He sure. could have commuted the sentence, right? He could have more narrowly crafted the pardon.
And there's a Supreme Court that believes in the rule of law and that the president doesn't have immunity for everything. But
that's not Hunter Biden's case.
You've already got so many different things out there that say this is not going to be a fair administration coming forward. And Joe Biden, as a father, said, I'm not going to submit my son's life to this. If they want to come after me, if they want to come after my administration, that's fair game. But I'm not going to expose my son any longer to this.
But he didn't expose his son. Hunter exposed himself. He made those decisions, right?
I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying as a father, he said, I'm no longer going to expose my son. You can agree or disagree with it on the legal matter, but I'm saying as a father, he said enough is enough.
Well, and I totally agree with that. I completely understand the impetus.
Yep.
And though I would never be strong enough to not pardon my child in a similar circumstance, I think it is perfectly legitimate for us to require these ultimate sacrifices by people we call President of the United States.
Yes, as but, not unfair- their, but not their family.
But this wasn't a malicious prosecution. He did these things. In fact, it was right. Joe Biden's DOJ that prosecuted him, if we're right. going to look at him like this, right? I mean,
but once again, we're talking levels here. And the level of his crimes do not rise to the level that the Republicans have been saying they're going after him for.
But that's not what these cases were about, right? These cases were about admitted criminal conduct and a jury that convicted him of criminal conduct. And the thing that concerns me, right, is this perception that Americans have on both ends of the political spectrum.
There's the point, right?
Right.
There's the point.
That the system isn't fair, and they're right.
And they're not right. They are not right.
What do you mean? There are rules for rich elites. Come on, Tom. There are rules for rich elites, and then there's rules for the rest of us.
How many people have Trump named that he's already pardoned for previous crimes?
Kushner, right? Who else do we have?
Roger Stone, right?
I don't think they have official roles yet, but
he's going to be wandering around the halls of the White House, right?
But he also didn't issue a blanket 10-year pardon for Charles Kushner. He issued,
because he knew the Democrats were going to come after him. He knew
but
that.
But do you burn? But I think you end up on a slippery slope where at the very moment we need people to stand up and defend the institutions, and the man told us.
But let's defend them in a way that protects. And I think Joe Biden has earned it. I think he has earned the right to protect his family. I think he has earned the right to protect his remaining son.
Well, he legally has the right.
Yes.
Earned? Deserve?
Earned. Yes.
Where do the rest of us regular people who aren't rich elites get the protection that we so richly deserve?
If we're just the regular
our debate's going to continue.
Justice.
I'm sorry to talk over you, Tom. We got to take care of business.
Oh, no, it's fantastic. Yep.
We're going to come right back, y'all. You can get in on this debate. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It's probably one of the most interesting questions of our time. It is worthy of your thoughts. So give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC. Keep it locked. We'll be right back. In a fat man's back, said open up the safe, put your money in the sack.